What we want to talk about today is a little bit different because we understand that it is our responsibility as Christian people to manage our expectation. Meaning, I've got to make sure that I don't let my experiences in life regulate my expectations of God. Write this down. I will not, or say it out loud, whatever you want to do to reinforce it. Auditory learner. Okay. Let's just say it out loud. I will not allow my experience in life to regulate my expectation of God. That is a daily decision you've got to make. And I think that a lot of the damaged relationships in our life are because of unmanaged expectations. That we really started depending on somebody to do things for us that only God could do for us. We really started expecting things to be like the perfect little movies we make up in our mind of how things are supposed to go when we show up. And so the integrated faith that Isaiah describes, really beautiful, because he says that there's two things happening. There is a fight, everybody say fight. That's verse 1 of Isaiah 27. In that day, the Lord will punish with his sword. Now, you don't have a sword if you're just going through life, strolling through your day. So there's a fight happening. And then in verse 2, it says, in that day, sing about a fruitful vineyard. So let me point something out to you. There's a sword in verse 1, and there's a song in verse 2. But the sword and the song are happening on the same day. Okay. This integrated faith will make me get up in the morning and never say again, it's going to be one of those days. Because it's always going to be one of those days. I almost got discouraged before I came out today because my hair right there was flat and I couldn't get it up. And I was going, oh God, how am I going to preach if my hair's flat right there? Are you serious? You have the word of God and the spirit of God and you're going to have a bad hair day and get up in the pulpit without confidence. And I think I fixed it, but I'm still not really sure. So I'm kind of insecure as I stand before you. It's amazing. It doesn't take much to remove us from a hopeful expectation. My expectation is my responsibility. Nobody can ruin my day. I got a verse for that. Psalm 118, verse 24. It's the year 2024, right? All right. This is a verse 24 for you. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So if God made this day, nobody else gets to mess it up. I used to say to people when they send me a nice text, you made my day. I quit saying that because I figure if they can make my day by sending me a nice text, they can mess up my day if they send me another type of text. Now we want to get up every day this year and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So it's the challenge, watch this, to remain in hope while leaving room for disappointment. I think our expectations this time of year could use a little HGH, Holy Ghost hormone, to get us on an expecting path. That God has given me a hope and a future and an expected end. No matter what they did or didn't do for you, no matter who left or who stayed or who called back or who blocked your number, I have an expected end. And yet as I walk through these days, I understand that my challenge is to remain. If you want to take notes on my message today, my first word is remain, because I want to challenge you to remain in hope this year and leave room for disappointment. And you're like, which one is it? I want you to do both. I want you to expect the blessing and accept the mess. In that day, there will be a sword because everybody in here is fighting something. But notice that while the sword is fighting Leviathan, because everybody has a Leviathan and everybody knows how to hide it. It's a coiling serpent. It's a gliding serpent. You hide your Leviathan behind a smile. You hide your Leviathan behind new clothes to disguise the fact that I dragged old habits underneath new clothes. Some of us have new hair. Talked about a bad hair day. Some of us actually have new hair on our head in a new year. Yet notice this in the text. Notice this in the text. At the same time that God is dealing with the enemy, he commands you to sing about the fruit that is coming forth in your life. Now, I love the Bible because this gives me an integrated expectation of God. That there will always be a fight in my life, but there will always be fruit in my life. As a matter of fact, I learned the bigger the fight, the bigger the fruit is going to be, and the size of the fight is a preview of the size of the fruit. High five somebody, say it's gonna be big, baby. I'm a preacher today, I don't know what y'all are gonna do. Shall remain. He talks about Jacob. He talks about Israel being planted and bearing fruit, having root and bearing fruit. And I wonder, are you rooted in the right thing as this year begins? And I came to ask one question of our global EFAM and our local campuses all around the world. What will you do with your 24? I think we're all a little humbler about our New Year's resolutions after the year formerly known as 2020. Every preacher I know was up preaching about vision, 2020 vision. And then just completely blindsided by the fact that the Lord didn't give us a prophetic word that we would be looking at empty seats all year preaching in our empty buildings. So all the sermons are humbler in the new year. All the plans are a little bit moderated. Mitigated, modulated. I found a verse for that too. Proverbs 27:1. I put this one in the King James. Check it out. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So when I had you shout, this is that day, shout it again. This is that day. Some of y'all said that in lowercase letters. No exclamation point. This is that day. You're very deep, so you're like, what do you mean by that day? I was just reading the Bible, because Isaiah said, in that day, the Lord's going to fight your enemies. And in that day, you will sing of a fruitful vineyard. That day. You know that day you dream of? There are many of you today who are dreaming of a day. Say, I'm dreaming of a day. If you don't talk back to me during the sermon, you get a flat tire when you leave to go in the parking lot. We got some guests. I need to explain the rules. Say, that day. That day. And so we have an expectation that God is going to free us from certain things this year, that God is going to deliver us from certain dilemmas this year, that God is going to provide for us. An expectation is great as long as it's integrated. Because I think the danger of having expectations about what God is going to do, you know, 2024, God's gonna do more in 24. I'm leaving the shore in 24. I'm gonna get a stronger core in 24. You want another one? Something I've never seen before in 2024. My ceiling is gonna be my floor. In 2024, not gonna be poor. While we say that, and while it's good to envision that, and I'll be honest with you, some of the things that I'm seeing today in my life are the result of a vision that God gave me at a time when I couldn't see anything like what I'm seeing today. I believe in that expectation. I think the danger we should talk about as you move into your new year and what God wants to do through you is that sometimes your expectation of the future can become your excuse right now. And I'll break it down to a phrase that I heard, and I'll use Elijah to give it to you. When he was very little, we were taking Easter pictures as a family. And of course, our kids just love taking Easter pictures because they're the pastor's kids. They were fighting. They were angry. They were despondent. And Elijah finally, like after having to change outfits a few times, this is a legendary line that he said in our family. He said, "I hate Easter. When I'm the pastor..." So let's break this down. He said, "One day, when I'm the pastor, we're not even gonna have Easter. I'm canceling Easter." He was like 5, so don't judge him like that. Oh my God, he was 5. But check this out, a 5-year-old's perspective. One day, when I'm the pastor, one day when, one day when. Have you ever been a victim of one day when syndrome? Yeah, I'm not doing too good right now, but one day when I get these kids out the house. The problem I have with that plan, one day when I get the kids out the house, is that 20 years ago, you were saying, one day when I have kids of my own. And now it's shifted to a future stage where you think you'll have more space and less stress. Let's do another one. I'm going to start a business one day when I have the right partner. I used to laugh when teams would come to see our church and they were starting their own church. And the pastor would pull me aside and say, "Hey, I got a gift, I got an anointing, I got a call and start a church, I want to reach people far from God, but I don't have a team. Where do you get your team?" And I would always make something up. "Oh, well, you know, the Build-A-Bear store? Well, they got a Build-A-Ministry team store." And I went down there and I found the right amount of achiever and doer and the right amount of dreamer, and I put a team together. What do you think the team came from? The same place Jesus got his team. You find the people that God has placed in your life that are imperfect, and you make it happen with who you've got. Now, if you are expecting a stage in your life when the perfect people will come into your life to help you figure out your imperfect life, if God sends perfect people in your life, you should send them away so they stay perfect. Because the moment they get tangled up with you and me, they won't be perfect anymore. Did you ever do the one day when thing? "Well, I'm gonna get in shape one day when." One day when what? "I'm gonna do the diet one day when." One day when what? I'll tell you what happened to me. This is so embarrassing. One day I saw in the mirror, I don't know how you see 45 pounds that you've gained all at once, but it was like a flash of revelation. It was like a road to Damascus to me. I walked by the mirror after being married to Holly for 18 months with my shirt off. And I said, "Why didn't you tell me this was happening to me? And why did you contribute to it with your cooking?" I said, "I'm going on Atkins." So that's the diet I knew. And it involved bacon. And I like bacon. So I got to lose this belly, but I got to use bacon to do it. Because I'm not going to be counting macros anytime soon. And Holly said, "Great. That's great. We could go on a diet next week." I said, "No, I'm not eating another carb starting right now." And I didn't. We went to Wendy's that night. I donated back the bun to the homeless ministry and just ate the patty. And I did that over and over and over and over. And she thought that was so strange. She said, "You could have gave me time. We could have shopped. We could have hired a nutritionist." But I knew too much to have to give a nutritionist money to start doing what I could do today. Now, I'm telling you, one day when I have more time, I'm gonna write a book. One day when my wife starts acting right, I could really be a great businessman if my wife would believe in me. One day when she gets the vision, what if she doesn't need to get the vision? What if you need to show the discipline? Somebody say one day. One day when? One day, I'm telling you, Pastor Stephen, I'm going to start giving to the church. One day when I manifest all of the riches. I know that the day is coming. God has told me I will be a millionaire. I will fund the kingdom. I will send apostles into the earth. One day when I get this business right, if you won't do it with $10, I promise you won't do it with millions. I promise. Because it's going to be more zeros. This is going to make you throw up even that much more when you give it. One day when? And I have found myself, now I know this New Year's message is not the shoutiest New Year's message, but I think it could be a sustaining one for you. If you make a subtle shift, and if the first point of this sermon is remain in hope, but leave room for disappointment, because there will always be a fight and there will always be fruit. And sometimes you have to really allow the fight to take its course to see the fruit come forth. If the first word is remain, the second thing I want you to do this year is reduce. Reduce. And again, this is not a weight loss seminar. And I know that reduce is not a juicy New Year's word. And I know that we want God to add to our lives, and you should. I want you to have more influence. I want you to have more happy moments. I want you to have more laughter. I want you to have more peaceful sleep at night, more hours of sleep. I want you to be able to see more places and create more opportunities for others and yourself. But at the same time, I want you to experience more. I want to point out to you that in the text I read, God did not say anything to Israel about years. In Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1, he says, in that day. Verse 2, in that day. Verse 6, in days to come. And I wonder, are we stressed, discouraged, defeated, and lacking momentum and victory in our life? Because when I said, what are you going to do with your 24? You thought years. The real answer to the question, what will you do with your 24? Is not about a year called 24. It's about, this is the day the Lord has made. When I woke up this morning, I had 24 hours of opportunity deposited into my account. And I can sit here with you and dream about all of the amazing things I'm going to accomplish for God this year. I could sit here and advertise to you all of the amazing possibilities that could happen in your life this year. More in 24. Leave the shore in 24. Strengthen your core in 24. And all of that I say about 24 is wonderful and abstract, but it falls into the category of one day when. So round about June, I'm going to have my beach body. So round about December, I'm going to have some of these debts paid off. So round about 3 years from now, my family's going to be back together. Round about 10 years from now, my kids are going to college. I believe in long-term vision. I think it's all amazing, but I think this one day when can be a trap to keep you focused so much on the years that you don't do with the days what you could do with the days. Isn't this what Jesus said? Why do you worry about tomorrow? Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Let me ask you a question. If you're anxious, are you anxious about today, or are you anxious about Wednesday? Or are you anxious about Wednesday 3 weeks from now? Or are you anxious about when you retire, when you're 75, you're 17, you've got time. There's days between here and there. You know how much peace it'll bring you to recognize the revelation of a day? Here's the revelation of a day. That the grace for the day is in the day.
Hey, thanks for stopping by my YouTube channel. I hope you were blessed today. If you were, share this with somebody. Like and subscribe and leave me a comment. Let me know where you're watching from, what we can pray for you about. Hope to see you back here again really soon.